Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As most of you know, I not only do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I also do the Hank Unplugged podcast. And I want to make a little bit of a plug for a Hank Unplugged that's coming up very, very soon. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You'll be able to consume it at iTunes or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. This was a particularly interesting podcast in that, as many of you know, I have been burdened and blessed by a yet incurable illness. And yes, you heard that correctly. My illness has both burdened and blessed me. My battle with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma has brought its burdens upon my body, but it's been an abundant blessing to my soul. Many have been amazed when I say that my time spent with mantle cell lymphoma has been one of the highlights of my life. And yet, that is undeniably true. This illness has brought me closer to the Lord. It has allowed me to experience a depth of deification, union with God, that I may not have seen in the strength of my own self-sufficiencies. Beyond a doubt, the health of our soul is more important than the health of our body. And yet, in our modern age of materialism, we have made the medical doctor the new high priest of civilization. Civilization seeking purely physical solutions to problems previously presumed to pertain to the soul. So I recently had the honor of recording a conversation for the Hank Unplugged podcast with French professor Jean-Claude Larcher. He's a prolific scholar. He holds doctoral degrees in both theology and philosophy, and he's one of the foremost patristic scholars on the planet today. And as was the focus of his magnum opus, a monumental dissertation of over 1,000 pages, we discuss sickness, suffering, and the soul from a theological perspective. His profound book, The Theology of Illness, a book that I love, a book that my wife turned me on to, examines the role that suffering and illness play in our lives and how they can actually aid our spiritual development. From provocative statements like, there is no question that people today have far fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with illness, to the provocative statement, good health is evil if it contributes to making a person indifferent to his salvation and keeps him away from God by giving him the false impression that he is self-sufficient. Well, from those kinds of statements, Professor Larcher challenges the way we think about suffering, illness, and what genuine health really is. That episode is now available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and I urge you all to set aside some time to listen to this particular conversation. It'll take some doing because Dr. Larcher speaks better English than I do French, but nonetheless, it's not his first language. And so it takes a little getting used to, but it is well worth the effort. Again, a profound, a brilliant theologian and churchman, and someone that I deeply admire and respect. I also want to say something about a quote of the day that has been questioned by quite a number of people. One on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I, as the quote of the day a couple of days ago, quoted St. Cyprian, who was the Bishop of Carthage. Carthage, of course, is northern Africa. And he was a bishop that lived around 210, at least that's when he was born. He became a Christian around 250, I think it was 248, somewhere in that area. And he was beheaded for his faith 10 years later. Why? Because he refused to offer sacrifices to idols. And one of the great quotes of St. Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, was, "He cannot have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother." And I was thinking the other day, although I responded adequately to that question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast a few days ago, I was thinking that, you know, I probably should have mentioned Revelation chapter 21, where several times the church is called the bride of Christ or the wife of the Lamb. And therefore, it stands to reason that if we have God as our father, we would have the church as our mother. God is the father in the metaphor. The church is the wife of the father. Thus, in that sense, we rightly call the church our mother. And as I pointed out the other day, those having separated themselves from the unity of the church do not have true life in themselves, because we are born into a body of believers. Christian love is shown as the very bond that holds the church together. Well, let's go to the phone lines. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. First up, John in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Hank, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The question I had regards, by the way, really appreciate that you're gone into Orthodoxy. Our roots are Armenian Orthodox, so really support you on that. The question I have is something that is a total departure from Orthodoxy, and just of a preacher called Charles Stanley, and something that's just sticking in my craw. He's saying his popular quote that I'll try to quote him as best as I can. He said that there's not a sin that you could commit that would ever have God cast you away. In other words, there's not a sin that you could commit that would ever separate you from God. And, you know, being a student of the Bible, I have found that that makes Jesus an outright liar. It's like spitting on the face of Christ, because he talked about an unpardonable sin. And I think people need to open up their Bibles, or if they don't have the time to do that, they can call into CRI, do one or the other, because people are just being misled in droves. I used to respect this preacher, but now he seems like gone the way of the other apostates. So I just wanted to know that people must realize there is a sin that could separate a person from God. There is also another sin, a sin unto death, which we're not even supposed to pray for that person. So I don't know where he gets his theology, and people need to either read their Bibles or listen to CRI or one or the other. Well, I just want to get your response.
Sure, yeah. And let me say this, although I'm not an expert on what Charles Stanley is teaching in this respect, although I did make a comment about what he was saying about the whole matter of asking for forgiveness the other day in response to a question. What I understand about his view is that he says that the events surrounding Christ's mention of this unpardonable sin can no longer be duplicated. And there's a sense in which that's true. If you think about it, when Jesus was talking about the unpardonable sin, he was talking in a historical context about the Pharisees, mentioned in Matthew's gospel, who militantly hated Christ and as a result of that, attributed his miracles to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And unlike people who are afraid they have committed the unforgivable sin, these Pharisees were totally unconcerned about receiving Christ's forgiveness. So instead, with premeditation and persistence, they willfully blasphemed the Holy Spirit's testimony that Christ was the Son of the living God. But having said that, there's an argument to be made that you can't duplicate what happened with the Pharisees, but the principle is that for the Pharisees, they had determined that Christ was not God, even though they knew he was. Even though they knew he was the only one who could walk through the doorway of biblical prophecy. So they committed an unpardonable sin because with premeditation and forethought continuously, they rejected Jesus Christ. The unpardonable sin, therefore, is a continuous willful rejection, not a single act. I've written about that in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If you want more information, we'll be right back with more of the show.
Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once professed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. Professor Paul Chamberlain explains four reasons commonly cited by critics for leaving the faith and gives concise guidelines for how you can respond. Be sure to read Why People Stop Believing in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Wrestling with God, Church, and Religion from the Beginning of His Career to Its End, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. Other topics include how to have a civil discussion about abortion, the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, HBO's Westworld and the Ethics of Artificial Intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, Saudi Arabia is in the news with the disappearance of a dissident Saudi journalist. You've probably heard about it, Jamal Khashoggi. And when you think about Saudi Arabia, this is, of course, the largest single source for U.S. startups. The total invested by the kingdom so far in startups is far bigger than the total raised by any single venture capital fund. One only need to think about organizations like Uber. But more to the point, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is not only investing in startups in the U.S., making it very, very hard for Silicon Valley to say anything negative about Saudi Arabia. But they've spent $100 billion, perhaps much, much more, to spend their fundamentalist brand of Islamic jihadism around the planet. In India alone, there are some 25,000 Saudi clerics arriving who bear more than $250 million to build mosques and universities and to hold seminars. And as Thomas Friedman once put it, I think it was in a very provocative piece that was titled, "Are Radical Islamic Best Friends Forever Saudi Arabia?" The title, "Greatest Purveyor of Radical Islam," belongs to our putative ally, Saudi Arabia. You think of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. They are the ideological offspring of the Wahhabism injected by Saudi Arabia into mosques and madrasas from Morocco to Pakistan to Indonesia. And we, America, as Friedman said, have never called them on that. Why? Because we're addicted to their oil. And addicts never tell the truth to their pushers. And as I pointed out in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, former Democratic Senator Bob Graham, he's a senator from Florida, pointed out that Saudi Arabia has direct ties to the massacres of September 11, 2001. And following the declassification of 28 pages of congressional inquiry into the 9/11 attacks, Graham averred that there was a solid case for the position that there was significant Saudi involvement going up at least to the Saudi ambassador, Prince Bandar, in the days leading up to 9/11. And there's enough in those pages to establish that there was probable cause that the Saudi government, its agents, and its citizens were involved in assisting the 9/11 hijackers. And not insignificantly, 15 of the 19 were Saudi nationals, our best friends forever. And against the weight of political correctness, Graham overtly dubbed ISIS a product of Saudi ideals, of Saudi money, of Saudi organizational support. And all of this is being whitewashed in the Western world, where Sharia subservient states, including Saudi Arabia, are consistently being portrayed as peace-loving allies in the fight against terrorism. Little wonder, then, that when the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia declared it necessary to destroy every church in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, Western governments did not so much as blink. I love Rabban Ibrahim. He's written a great book on Islam. I'll be talking about it in weeks to come. But he also wrote a remarkable book, which I featured on the Bible Instrument broadcast, that was titled Crucified Again. And Rabban Ibrahim points out how Saudi Arabia employed an arsenal of semantic games, of key phrases, of convenient omissions, of moral relativism to uphold a narrative first forged by virulently anti-Western academics in the 60s and the 70s, that Muslim violence and intolerance are products of anything and everything, of poverty, political and historical grievances, territorial disputes, the product of everything, except of the legacy of Muhammad himself. And therein lies the quote of the day. It actually comes from my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Muhammad's trail of terror is the legacy of Islam. He migrated to Medina, but never assimilated. And after reaching critical mass, he slew the pagans, taking their houses and lands. He later seized Mecca and made it the centerpiece of his conquests. And he beleaguered the cities of Arabia, taking their women and their wealth as his private property. His every stratagem of war paved the way for what, 14 centuries later, would be the most prolific pseudo-religion in the world. Again, with its headquarters, so to speak, in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia. One of the things that we need to get straight as Christians is the threat that Islam poses to the Western world. And I think as Saudi Arabia is again in the news, this is once again being whitewashed. And we as Christians ought to be discerning. We need to know about what's going on, not only within our own country, but the threats to our country from without. In fact, we ought to be world citizens in the sense that we know what's going on in the world in general. Enough of this politically correct talk about Saudi Arabia. Enough with respect to our addictions. Enough with respect to the veneer that we've painted on the country of Turkey, which is becoming increasingly militant in its Islamic traditions. These are countries that have never apologized for the tragedies that they have exacted on the world. For 9/11, in the case of Turkey, for what happened around the time of World War I, one of the greatest genocides in the history of the world that most people seem completely oblivious to. I wrote my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, so that you might know what Islam really is, as opposed to the politically correct rhetoric that masquerades as truth in the world today. And I hear many Christians communicating some of the canards that have been spoon-fed to us from the table of political correctness. My book, Islam, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Contrast is the mother of clarity. And in this book, you will not only learn the deviations of Islam, but you will learn the truth of the historic Christian faith. You will understand that there is a quantum leap, a chasm of infinity between Muhammad and Christ. That Islam is not, well, just one of the many Abrahamic religions, but that this is a perverse prostitution of the Judeo-Christian tradition sprinkled liberally with Arabian paganism. It is a threat to America that we seem oblivious to as we take their money for startups and as we turn a blind eye to their atrocities. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK, numerically 888-275-4265. And thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference not only for time, but a difference for all eternity. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.